Hello, my name is Arnaud Servignan, I live in Paris. Un repas sans fromage est comme une belle à qui manque un œil. A meal without a cheese is like a beautiful lady that misses an eye.
Merci.
Un repas sans fromage est comme une belle à qui manque un œil.
That's good.
Perfect.
You can encounter thousands of years of history almost anywhere you walk in Italy. But unifying the various states of Italy as one nation didn't happen until 1861, and it still took another 9 years to defeat the Papal States and make Rome Italy's capital. That's part of the reason you'll notice some real differences in Italy from north to south. Sicily is barely 100 miles from the coast of Tunisia in North Africa, and the Italian Alps border Austria and Switzerland. So you can expect some real contrasts as you travel from the Alps in the north of Italy down to the beaches of Sicily. Let's explore this with two of my favorite guides from opposite sides of Italy. Aldo Valario lives in the far south in sunny Sicily, while Riccardo Panareo lives up in Urbino. That's about 800 kilometers due north of Aldo, near the Adriatic coast. Ciao, Riccardo.
Ciao, buonasera a tutti.
And Aldo Valerio.
Ciao, Rick. Buonasera. Aldo.
Thank you guys for being here. Now, Aldo, what's your story? Where do you live?
Yeah, now I'm living in Sicily.
Okay.
It's about 14 years I've been living in Sicily, but my family comes from the Amalfi Coast.
Okay, so you're going to represent the South.
Yes,
I'm
going to represent the South.
And Riccardo, where are you living?
I'm living towards the northern part of Italy, say central north Adriatic coast, in an area called Rimini.
Rimini.
Or Urbino. Maybe people know it better as Urbino because that's the oldest center in that area.
That's the famous historic town.
Historic,
artistic
yeah.
town. Urbino, very nice town. And what is the state that you're in?
It's a little region called Marche in
Marche,
Italy.
Yeah. And there's more and more interest in Marche, I think. A lot of people are discovering the beauties of Marche.
Yeah, because it's got the same beauty of Tuscany and Umbria, but it's cheaper. Not yet. So... famous.
Yeah.
So,
La Marche, M-A-R-C-H-E. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Without all of the high prices and high tourists and lots of tour buses of Tuscany and so on. All over Italy, we have this concept of campanilissimo. Tell me what that is, Riccardo.
So it comes from campanile. Campanile is bell tower. As in the old days, in the Middle Ages and earlier, the bell tower was supposed to be the highest spot in town. So every community used to have a lot of proud of having a bell tower. My tower is taller than yours.
Oh, okay. So campanile is the bell tower and you're proud of your bell tower.
Yes. Yeah, so you're proud of your town. So when you defend your town against somebody else's town, then it's campanilismo.
Okay.
My tower is taller than yours.
And Aldo, do you have a campanilissimo down for in Sicily? Do you have the same concept or what?
Not really. But we like defending everything. As you know, in southern Italy, we like protecting our area because we feel like a little bit different.
You've had to do a lot of protecting over the centuries.
Yeah. That's where the great heritage is to be found in my lots of protecting.
Lots of protecting and lots of failing to protect.
Oh, yes.
Well, tell us about the different layers of Sicily.
Well, I mean, we...
Conquerors.
Greeks, Romans, and the Arabs, and the Carthaginians. So
Vikings.
Many. Because, I mean, it's just in the center of the Mediterranean as an island, so it was easy to get there and to conquer the area. So.
Okay. Now, in Italy, are people loyal first to Italy or to their region? Because in 1870, when they finally created Italy, Cavour, Mazzini, Garibaldi, all of these guys, the famous phrase is, do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
We've created Italy. Now we have to create Italians.
Italiani.
Okay, it's 140 years later. Have we created Italians?
Mm.
Riccardo.
Well, under some aspects, no, really, because, you see, we are a fresh country. Although, when you talk about Italy, mine goes to 2,000-3,000 years ago. But the Italy today is even younger than the United States of America.
So you've got 2,000 years of heritage, but the political entity we think of as Italy...
It's very, very young.
It's younger than America.
Sure.
It's as young as Germany. It's only 1870.
And there are so many differences between the North and the South, due to the landscape, due to the climatic conditions, but especially due to the historical conditions, because we all had different dominations and each of them left something in the south, in the center, and in the north.
Aldo, when you think about the differences between the north and the south, how would you characterize them?
Well, I mean, as my colleague said, the past and also the heritage that we have has shaped a different kind of Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, the difference is to be found in the mentality. as well. The north has always been industrialized for so many years. It's always been the area where from the south they used to move into the north to find luck, to find a job.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, it hasn't changed at all. There is a big gap.
So Sicilians are still going to north for jobs?
Like in the past, like still nowadays, they're moving to the north because they can see the north as the opportunity. Even if nowadays, to be honest with you, with the conditions of Italy, there's not really so much opportunity all over Italy.
Because I remember traveling in Italy, if you're on the road on the wrong day, it's the day the workers are going on vacation and they're home to Sicily. And
then you are in good company then.
You're in good company.
You meet a lot of friends on the motorway, in the auto grills.
So, Ricardo, if you think of the differences between the North and the South, I guess one thing is the South was more under colonial, they were occupied by foreign powers and just kept down, whereas in the North you do have some industry and some wealth.
But I think there is another condition that should be considered. Think about for a minute Italy. It's a long stretch of land, 800 miles long, more or less as long as California, you know, more or less. And think about somebody living in Agrigento, about 75 miles from Libya in Tunisia.
75 miles from Libya.
Then think somebody coming from Milan, less than 20 miles from Switzerland.
Yeah.
Beside the fact that they have two arms and two legs and one head, which other similarity do you have?
So you got more of a Libyan flavor in the south and more of a German flavor in the north.
That's the reason why Italy is so famous and so charming, because within a rather limited part of the world, we have so many different historical, cultural, temperamental
differences. And the more we travelers can be tuned into that, the more fun we're going to have.
Within 50 miles, you drive 2 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, and you already see the differences.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Italy and the differences between the north and the south. And we're joined by Ricardo Panareo and Aldo Valerio. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Nancy's on the line from Love Ladies, New Jersey. Nancy, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. It's great to be with you. The question I had is, the Catholic Church really controlled the south until the time of the unification, but the north was held variously by quite a number of other European countries. And I was really curious to hear how your guest would talk about the impact that both of those cultures had on the people there.
So the impact of the Catholic Church and the impact of other European cultures, namely Austrians and French.
The French, Austrians, Spanish.
Okay, Ricardo.
But it's more how the Catholic Church.
And the Catholic Church.
I have to say that obviously Italy historically has been always under the influence, let's say, of the Church. I have to correct, maybe, if Nancy doesn't mind, the southern part of Italy was not directly ruled by the Pope. The popes, for about 1,000 years, they ruled the central part of Italy. The southern part of Italy, they had their own different dominations. The last one before unification was the Bourbons.
Side branch
of the family from Bourbon.
Okay. So the far south was under the French control, things change over the centuries, but a good part of the center of Italy was really dominated by the Church. And how has that impacted Italy today?
Well, still today, the Church is very, very important. I mean, still today, politically speaking, the Church, although Italy, since the unification, especially after the Second World War, doesn't have any stated religion, you know, but still the influence of the centuries,
you know,
cannot be avoided. It's still strong.
Unification wasn't quite that easy because, well, 95% of Italy unified in 1870, right? The Vatican states held out until, when was the Vatican, the treaty in 1929?
1929.
Finally, the Pope said,
Okay,
I give up. and then Italy left the tiniest place there for the independent Vatican State.
But still, the Church is very, very influential.
It's always been. It's always been very powerful. So it's always been a great symbol of power. And then still nowadays.
Now,
is
there a trend for a change, or is it still always the same? Because less people go to church now than two generations
less people
before.
Go. It's not like in the past. There was really this great importance we were given. When I was a child, for instance, and then my father was forcing me to go to church almost three times a week. Nowadays, it's not like that.
But you know what's very interesting to me, you guys, is if most Italians, their families are Catholic, and you know, if they trip on the bus, they'll say Joseph and Mary or something like this. But if you get in a motorcycle accident and you survive, you'll take your helmet to the church and hang it up on the wall for where you were, for the saint that was taking care of you. You know what I mean?
We are very superstitious. And then, for instance, every time I have a travel, I've got my granny. She gives me the picture, the little picture of the patron saint. And then to protect my journeys, everything, we are really like that.
Who's your patron saint?
And Padre Pio. He's from Apulia.
Padre Pio.
And then I was actually forced by my family to believe in that, to be honest with you. But this is the way we are. We cannot offend the families. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble.
And Ricardo, what is your patron saint?
Let's say maybe because I'm from the north, I'm a little bit more detached.
Told you, there is a difference. Oh, told you.
No, that is interesting. So you think when you look to the south, you see people who are more connected with their traditional faith?
Yes, I would say so. Also because they're more temperamental, which is not a negative point.
Right.
Please, this is important. You know, we're talking about differences. We're not saying one is better than the other. So. They're more temperamental.
In the South, of course.
They go more towards religion, towards the faith.
Right.
You know, towards the destiny. Well, it's the destiny that I have to do this.
We believe in the family. In the South, we are really attached to the family, and then we don't want to offend them.
Yeah.
So this is, in my opinion, the difference. For instance, I'm married to a German lady. And then
you're married to a German.
Don't tell me.
When
I introduced my wife to a very strict Catholic family, and then my mom was saying, "Oh, Aldo, I will accept her. We don't care." But when she asked me, "Is she Catholic?" and then I told her she's not Catholic, that was an offense. She was even sending 3-4 priests in my house to convert my wife. I'm not kidding, to become a Catholic.
So little Aldo married a Protestant.
Oh God, don't tell
God me. God help you.
So did I.
And you did too.
The only thing, my mother was so happy that somebody was taking me away from home. So opposite,
oh, I see.
Opposite from Aldo.
No, it was different for me. When I left my house at the age of 17, my she was crying all the time.
Are you a mamone?
Still now. Oh, yeah, I'm a typical mamone. I get a phone call 3 times a day, age of 40.
What is mamone for our listeners?
Mamone means I'm addicted to my mom. And then, for instance, when I go back home, she lives on the top floor. I live on the middle floor. And then when it's lunchtime, because my wife, she cannot cook, she put the lasagna in a basket, she throw the basket, and everyone is grabbing the food for lunch.
Your mother drops the lasagna down in a basket like that.
Oh, and then
we all get it.
My wife, she's pretending I prepared the lasagna, but we know the truth.
You know how lazy are the people in the South? They don't even do 2 flights of steps to go and collect
the
lasagna.
Look, now we got a fighting.
they drop it down from the... Because one of my treats when I go to Sicily or Southern Italy is to
I
walk into the neighborhoods and I see all the ropes coming down
because there are no elevators.
Yeah,
there are no elevators. It's a poor place and there's 6 stories high in these apartments, very dense population. And especially older ladies, they can't get down. They don't walk so well. So they drop their rope down.
With the money inside.
Yeah. With the money, and they get their eggs or their milk. Yeah.
Sometimes I can see the lady actually into the basket going down.
No.
I'm kidding.
But you get the lasagna every day.
Oh, definitely. That's
so
my
now,
treat.
So you got this mamone thing. What is the Italian word for the umbilical cord?
Cordone umbilicale.
So it's difficult to cut that off.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like this forever.
It's still there.
Oh, yeah.
It's still there symbolically.
Mamma mia.
Okay, Nancy, there's your insight into a little bit of Italian culture.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you for your call.
Ciao, Nancy.
Grazie.
Ciao.
Ciao, bella.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Ricardo and Aldo about Italia. Our phone number is 877-333-7425.
Bravo!
Bene? And Kathy's on the line in Dexter, Oregon. Kathy, thanks for your call.
Hi, thanks and greetings to you both. After such a serious discussion about the Catholic Church, we're going to talk about something like pizza.
Pizza, okay, transition from Catholic to pizza.
We were, you know, fortunate enough to visit Italy in the last couple of years, and the farther south that we were able to travel was Naples. Then we spent more time a little bit in the north. But we've noticed, or at least from my perspective, it didn't seem like there was that much difference from the toppings that you get on the pizza. And I wondered if it was just something that we happened to experience based on where we went, or if you do see more of a difference between North and South on what people like on their pizzas.
Now, that's very interesting. We're going to let the Sicilian talk about this because I think pizza is sort of a national dish in Sicily?
Well, it's a national dish in Naples.
Right.
Yeah, the first pizza which was invented was actually dedicated to the Queen of Naples, Margherita, La Regina Margherita. And as a matter of fact, incorporates the three colors of the Italian flag. But the real one...
Explain the three colors and
what
it is.
So we got a mozzarella and white. Then we got a rosso, red, the tomato. And then we got green, the basil. So
you
got to
put the basil on there or it's not an Italian flag. And it's named for the queen, Margherita.
Margherita.
Okay, so that's the one basic kind. And what's the other basic kind from Napoli?
We got loads. We got loads of pizzas. And it's very thin. The typical Neapolitan pizza is made in the oven. And the taste of the olive oil.
What's the little restaurant in Naples where they say they invented the pizza? What is this?
I do not know.
I don't remember.
Two pizzas on the list. There's only two pizzas they serve. They're very purist. One is Margherita.
Yeah.
And the other would be...
Napoletana.
Pizza Napoletana.
With anchovies.
With the anchovies. I don't remember the name.
So getting back to Kathy's question, would there be a difference between what you'd find on the pizza between the North and the South, Riccardo?
Not really, because more than North and the South is the pizzaiolo that makes the difference. The pizzaiolo is the one baking the pizza. Flying the bread.
So how does that matter? Know?
It depends on him, really. There is you can have excellent pizzas in Milan, as you can have down in Catania. So it's very much in the cook more than that. But one thing that, as we are talking to American friends, very often American people remain a little, not disappointed, but surprised, because our pizzas are different from what you're normally used in the state. In the state, the pizza is much richer. Is a meal, you have a thick.
We brag richer, about a thick. I want a big, thick pizza, but in Italy, that would be
very
bad
thin.
News.
No, absolutely,
very thin.
So for you, what's the perfect pizza?
Not so rich.
So very pure, good ingredients.
You can get more stuff in it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to explain to our friends when we go there. If you want a rich pizza, you just ask the waiters. You add this and that, the sausages, and then they will do it for you. But otherwise, our pizzas are usually rather plain.
Okay.
And because we like it that way.
What's your favorite?
Margherita. I'm going for the purest.
You go for the margherita.
Yeah,
so margherita. Good mozzarella.
See, good mozzarella.
Tomato sauce, a couple
of fresh leaves of basil. That's it.
Nice. And how do you like the crust?
The crust, I like bread, so not too cooked.
Not too cooked.
Not too cooked. You can tell the waiters.
Yeah. Oh, you can?
You can tell them if you want a little thicker.
For my English muffin, I say make it crispy, but you can do that with the pizza also.
Sure.
Margherita is my favorite one. And when we have the family reunions on Saturday and Sunday, we have a pizza by meter. Did you know that?
No.
We get together 24 people because that's what we do on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh,
it's a must. And then we go to have our pizza night and then we just have a big table and we order
2 meters of pizza.
Yeah, five meters. We all different toppings. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're eating our way through Italy, it sounds like here, which is, I guess it's a natural thing when you get a couple of Italians together celebrating the edible culture. And we have Aldo Valerio and Riccardo Panreo. Hey, Kathy, does that give you some ideas about the pizza?
It does. It sounds like maybe that we just need to do a little bit more checking and sampling the crust and the dough. So.
Yeah. If I have four friends and I'm going out to dinner to a pizzeria, I'll ask for four different pizzas. They come in 4 or 8 slices and ask them to come 15 minutes apart each, and you have a nice meal and you get to eat the whole menu rather than having
whole
menu to yourself. And that's a lot of fun.
That is a great idea.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Ciao, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Buon appetito.
Bye.
Buonasera. Ciao.
Ciao.
We have more of your calls just ahead for Aldo and Riccardo at 877-333-RICK. And by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com as we explore Italy from north to south on Travel with Rick Steves.